Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick, what's up, dude?
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Good. Doing well.
Hey, BG, man. Great win over the weekend, man. And, like, that defense is really getting my attention. And, listen, I've been coming down on Hurts a little bit. And him protecting the ball last, what, three games, no turnovers, is huge. I'm just, you know, you guys are getting me excited again. So that's good, man. And I guess, you know what, looking forward, how are we going to, I don't know, with Hurts and what he's doing right now, I just think that it seems like, you know, the new coaches and when we, you know, the revolving door that seems to exist in the NFL with assistant coaches to me is just baffling, how you guys work through, you know, new coordinators in some cases every year. But, you know, what's his face? The head coach here, Nick, was, you know, this team is not quitting. That's really what I'm trying
no
to
No question
at.
About it's, that, Patrick. And listen, Brandon's been very – Patrick, Brandon's been very clear, as have many players, that they believe in Nick. And look, it's very obvious they play hard. Very obvious.
And listen, if they weren't in on Nick as the coach, we wouldn't have seen the games that we just seen.
I agree with that.
And I think it's a big testament to really what Sirianni's doing out there. And listen, the proof is in the pudding, and these guys, and that's really my biggest takeaway is I'm super encouraged, you know, honestly, with Hurts, just that he's, like I said, he's not quitting and he's staying the course and him protecting that ball to me first, you know.
That's been big for sure. All right, Patrick, give me a great answer. A scene from a movie with real life circumstances.
You know what? Mine was taken. Joe, I'm out. Mine was taken.
You don't want to just say Herb Brooks' pregame speech?
Oh.
Wow.
I'm disappointed in myself.
I'm disappointed in you, too. All right. He hung up.
All right. Yeah, well.
Jeez, Joe. Kind of came down hard on him. Unnecessarily.
Ooh.
Wow. God, that was like a little bit personal.
Jeez. Oh, he just clicked like,
yeah. I told you, I'm done.
Brandon, you know what I love, man? You laugh sometimes, but you move away from the microphone. You're allowed to laugh into it. It's okay.
Okay. It's just funny, boy. He just hung up. Yeah. I thought y'all hung up on him, but it's him.
He was out. All right, by the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio, BG in studio with us.
I like those hats a lot. With the tartan
you're
wearing. You know that I got a kilt when I was a player. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, I thought because of my last name, Richie, that I was like super Scottish because it's a Scottish name. It used to be Mac Richie.
Yep.
And so I went and I got like the kilt made with my family tartan and all that stuff. And then I found out like I am really not Scottish.
Yeah.
Like very little. You know, like I got the testing done. I found out that I'm Bengali Indian. You know, like I'm Coptic Egyptian, but like the Scottish, it's like just barely there.
So it's, it comes from the name, but it's
just
not,
my name.
Not much.
Yeah. Okay. But so it's like, I feel like an imposter if I wear the plaid stuff. That's a really cool plaid. Why is the NFL doing plaid hats now? I think it's awesome.
It is nice. I like this hat a lot. Got the different colors in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very solid. Yeah. Speaking of our look. Speaking
Do
of our
you
name,
feel more look. Bengali than you do Scottish? Is that
I mean,
the takeaway?
It's like kind of close. I'm almost the same amount Bengali Indian.
Way to pin him down, James.
Scottish.
By the way, here's what we are. Yeah. We are Philadelphia, and it was and this was halfway through Brandon's career back in 2008 when he was halfway through this long journey. This is the anniversary of the Phillies winning the World Series. James, I'm going to have to hear the audio of this segment, just so you know, because I know, Brandon, we're typically in a weird spot late October, last couple years. They've been eliminated sometime in the last few weeks, so we're kind of in a bad Phillies mood. But we also waited 25 years for a title, and it happened in 08, and Harry Cowell, I mean, Rhea, Harry Cowell finally got the call.
I know, it was awesome.
A championship quenching moment.
Yeah, because he
didn't get to do it in 80. All right, we'll dig up the audio because, Brandon, there's only been two this century. One courtesy of you, 2017, the other, 08. And that's the only two since May 31st of 83.
Yep.
I mean, that's in 41 years. And then we're talking, you know, pro level, obviously, of the main four. Only right, so we'll get to that audio coming up shortly.
It's only two more years than Brandon's been playing, so...
It's unbelievable. PG, Brandon Graham is so old that, you know, he was there when the Declaration of Independence was signed. So, BG, are you starting to think even more about playing next year?
You know what? I just been trying to get through this year. I've been trying to just stay healthy and, man, keep winning games and coming up here in a good mood because, you know, when we win, especially the way we've been doing it. I just feel like we just got to stay with it. You know, stay focused. Don't earmuffs. Can't hear none of this stuff y'all talking. Mm-hmm. All this good stuff. It's all about just making it about us, going into these games, and making sure we execute.
Well, let me ask this. Let me ask this follow-up.
Your play does not demonstrate you're trying to just get through it. Your play demonstrates
you're playing
that
great.
You're dominant.
Yeah, let me ask you this question, Brandon. Would you want to go into the last, because I get the whole thing, you don't want to be distracted right now, but would you want to go into your last game knowing that it would be your last game? Meaning, it sounds like what you're saying is I'll figure it out in the offseason, but that could be you walked off the field and didn't know it would be your last game. Yeah. Is that a consideration?
You know what? I'll just say I'm a sit around. I'm going to stay right as far as, you know, keeping my body right, working out, because I want to keep that going anyway when I'm done, just working out. Because, you know, I want to look good anyway, but but if the right situation with the Eagles happen, for sure. I mean, I'll be right there, you know, waiting on them. But we walk off with this ring, man. I might have to go off like sell it. Like, hey, y'all, I see y'all, but I'll be in the building, you know. But
good for you, man.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Let's get to the phones. We'll get to the audio of Harry in the 08 clinching moment, Brad Lidge, that whole thing in a moment, because it is the 16-year anniversary and something we should always celebrate. Doug in Lancaster right now. Doug, you're on WIP.
Hey, BG, good to see you. Good to talk to you, man.
Good to talk to you, too, man.
Yeah, so we're talking about Hurts, and I think for me the big thing is expectations, right? So he's had a revolving door of coordinators and play callers the last few years. I think it's tough, right? As the season goes on, he's going to get more and more comfortable. Admittedly, I was a little skeptical, but I'm encouraged to see coming out of the bye a lot of the changes. I'm just curious, you know, as a team – How do you guys rally around not making too much of a big deal about the turnovers, knowing that, you know, you guys know you're going to fix it?
Well, you know what? You got to stay focused. You got to believe in what you're doing. I feel like with us, we work on it every day. We talk about it, and we know it's going to come. But you can't get frustrated when it don't happen when you think it's supposed to happen. Maybe like this one is the start of it. Nah, we got two. Next, you know, next game you got two, and then they come in bunches. So you just got to stay confident in what you're doing, and don't try to make nothing up just because you're trying to press to get something that you already doing okay and doing good on as far as, you know, y'all plan. But you got to make sure that you continue to believe in it and don't switch up.
Love that. And don't let Joe talk into a five-year deal. I think 4 years. I'm here to be the campaign manager.
That's great.
Hey. 2028, BG and Joe Tickett. You know, obviously the groin expert of America is going to be the slogan.
Man,
we're ready to go.
That's well. I appreciate it. Doug, you know my presidential slogan. I've already told you what it's really going to be. Yes, we will. All right, I'm going to call my shot. Yes,
I thought it was change.
That's my other slogan.
I thought it was shave down the groin area for optics.
All right, Doug, give me an answer. A scene from a movie based on real life circumstances.
All right, a little bit of a dark moment, but in Titanic, when the ship is going down.
Yeah, we already said it's got to involve a real person, though, not a bunch of fake. Like, I know Molly Brown's in there, but it's got to be a little bit more specific based on a real person.
All right, then I'll pivot to number two. So Vince Papale in Invincible, when he tees off on that kickoff and gets the fumble, that whole scene just sends shivers through your spine. I watch it every year before the kickoff of the season.
That's good stuff, man. Climatic moment of the movie when Vince scores the touchdown. That's very good. All right, our second Vince Papale answer today, and that is a really cool one. All right, I'll tell you what's even more cool, when the Phillies won the World Series. Now, James, can you put into context for you, being your age, how meaningful it was? Because you were not old enough to have seen 83, 80.
No, I was not.
75, 74. So what did the 08 Phillies on this anniversary day, what did it mean to you?
It was everything. I mean, I got a championship. I waited my whole life to win a title. Honestly, the moment it happened, like, it was almost surreal. Like, even more surreal. Like, these moments always feel somewhat surreal.
Yep.
This, like, my memories of it are actually weird. Like, it's like, I in the moment, I didn't know what to do. I remember we just walked to City Hall because we were like, oh, That's what you do, right? Like, and we're all just walking. We're like, what's going on? I can't believe this happened. Like, it was like almost, it really was one of the all-time, I can't believe this actually happened moments in my life.
And Ray, you didn't go to bed that night, right? Am I remembering that right?
No, I did not. There were two nights. I didn't go to bed that night or the night of the when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Well, you can't because, number one, it's fun and exciting. The Phillies was a little bit easier because the game ended earlier.
Because it was only three innings.
So, but those kind of nights, you just go on adrenaline. But you want to get in. You want to get, you know, for me, it's just making sure the updates are perfect. And I got all the sound and I got to pull, you know, and Wechter's too busy. You know, he can't help me out. So, but it was just the Eagles one was more fun for me only because I got to enjoy it with my son. He was not, you know, I'll be very honest. He's a parade baby.
Oh.
Yes.
How about that?
How about that information?
I know exactly the day.
Wow. Okay.
We had tried for years. It was, you know, so.
So you have Brad Lidge to thank.
Yes.
And Cole Hamilton.
I've said this before, so it's not the first time I said it. But
that's great.
Yes, he was born exactly to the day after the parade.
That's wild. All right, well, let's listen to the moment. We had waited so long, the 25-year wait on Philadelphia sports. Obviously, the 28-year wait on the Phillies from 80 until 08. Remember, the Phillies had started in 1883, so by the time you get to 2008, I mean, my God, it had been a long time for their existence. And this was only the second time ever. Let's relive that moment. Well, it's awesome. It really is. And it's great hearing Harry's voice, obviously.
Well, you know what was fun about that? When you see the video of it and you see Wheels losing his mind, but trying to keep it quiet because Harry's got the call. I always love that part.
It's incredible. All right, BG, so Doug this weekend. And by the way, if you want to call in and share your memories of 16 years ago, that wacky five-day stretch, the game that was going to be played, it was, then the rain, then there's the day off, and then there's the game is back, and the game gets played, and then there's a day delay, and then there's the parade. I mean, the whole thing was nuts over 5 days. So, BG, Doug Peterson this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Will you get a chance to connect with him either by text this week or on the field prior to the game?
Really on the field. I mean, you don't really send no messages this week unless, you know, you're talking stuff. But I planned on, you know, just saying what's up to him, a couple guys that's on his staff, and then getting ready to go out there and play. But, it'll be good to see him because I haven't seen him in person in a while.
Try to hang a big old L on him this weekend, aren't you?
That's a big one right there.
Go get his quarterback.
Get him fired, BG.
Yeah, how about that? You could. Come on, Brandon.
Hey now.
Hey, we ain't trying to get nobody gone, but you know, hey, at the end of the day, we trying to go get a win. That's all we trying to do.
And you're almost at the halfway point of the season. I mean, this would have been the halfway point had they not added the game.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel physically?
I feel good.
Still?
Yeah, because...
are you surprised at that?
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I really have been taking care of myself. I mean, I got a massage today, got it tomorrow, and then, you know, I practice, and then by the end of the week, Saturday, I get another one, and, man, just try to stay loose.
You're doing the impossible. Hey, you're feeling good halfway through a season.
You're a marvel, man. I mean it.
Man,
not quite in LeBron territory, being 40 and kicking ass, but you're doing... Congrats, man. Seriously, congrats on 3 in a row, Brandon.
I appreciate y'all.
All right, my man.
Yeah, baby, we working.
Brandon Graham, he'll be back with us next week and, of course, on the field on Sunday. 215-592-9494. All right, great to be with you on this Thursday morning. Flyers back at it tonight, Sixers tomorrow. World Series might end the night, and when it does, Phillies can turn their attention to Juan Soto if they want. The free agency starts, it's James, 5 days after the World Series,
I believe,
right?
That's correct, yes.
All right, so here's the report from Bob Nightingale, John, on Juan Soto as it relates to the Phillies. So in Bob Nightingale's report, he says, the Yankees have not hidden their desire to have Juan Soto return. The crosstown Mets, with the richest owner in baseball and Steve Cohen, could be beckoning. The Philadelphia Phillies are expected to strongly pursue him to team up with Boras client Bryce Harper. And then he mentions the Blue Jays and Giants as well. So
this is just like one of those things. It couldn't fit nicer, could it? I'm not saying I'm an expert here, but
Juan Soto improves the Phillies.
Well, Soto's an outfielder.
We need a left fielder, right?
Juan Soto is maybe the most talented young outfielder in all of baseball, and he's available.
He also has led the league in walks like three of the last 4 years or whatever.
James, what a pleasure that would be. Right. A guy who's got a consistent approach at the plate who might rub off on some of these other guys. The team that's a dangerous offense, but not a wise offense, not a prudent offense.
I agree with that.
That's what we need. We need a guy who's willing to get up there and walk from time
to time. All right, let me ask you a question. But
unbelievable skill. Yeah, he's an outfielder. Yes. Yes, please.
99% of us would want Juan Soto on the team, and I'm one of them. I just want to ask this question. James, I'm turning to you.
Mm-hmm.
Will Scott Boras permit Juan Soto to sign with the Phillies without a Bryce Harper extension?
Yes.
Sure?
I don't think they'll be intrinsically tied. Now, I think
Bother Bryce Harper if Juan Soto's making $500 million?
I don't think so. I think Bryce gets the way it works. But I do think, I think Boras will certainly shoot for it. Like, he already has. I'm sure he will. But I don't think he can say to Juan Soto, hey, I'm only sending you to Philly if they, you know what I mean?
He's not supposed to. But I just wonder if he influences a negotiation on the basis of one client wants $500 million, the other client doesn't want someone to make $200 million more than him. Just makes me wonder. I think, John, isn't that a fair, Ray, is that a fair thing to wonder?
It's absolutely fair.
It is. And, you know, I mean, I had said this to somebody after, you know, the way things went, is I better not start out spring training next year with Scott Boras asking for an extension already, again, for Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, I wouldn't put it this year.
Oh, yeah, but it better not try it again this spring training.
The dangerous but not prudent idea, I think that's a good way to phrase this offense, this team.
I like that.
I really like it, too.
Yeah.
They are incredibly dangerous. Like, on paper, they are scary all-star team guys at times, but then what happens when they go cold?
That's right.
Well, the reason they're going cold is because they're not being prudent. It's the approach.
I agree.
Let's bring someone in who's got a consistent approach like Juan Soto's that will help this team nudge them in the right direction.
All right, Elliot.
Maximize all that talent.
Elliot shortly, Nick Sirianni in 15 minutes. Twitter poll question right now brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season at Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's incredible lineup of SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. The question, do you believe in Jalen Hurts long-term as the franchise quarterback of the Eagles? Yes. Or no? Let's talk to George. He's calling from Maryland. Good morning, George.
Hey, Joe. I'm going to tell you now, your opinion of Jalen Hurts is almost useless. You know that? It's almost useless.
Almost.
Which means it's not useless.
It's almost useless. You know, I seen you make excuses for Joe Burrow. I seen you make the same excuse. Oh, his line's not blocking for him. He's got this going on, and he just looks ordinary. When the Eagles' line blocked for Jalen Hurts, he looks an elite quarterback. As long as they block for him, he is an elite
I think they've been blocking for him for the last year and a half, George. The fact
there are times where he hasn't helped useless. Them block for him.
I just told you your opinion is useless.
Yeah, but George, I'm going to ask you a question. Who's got a better offensive line, the Eagles or the Bengals?
I can't say that.
Hold on, George. If we're going to keep it, George, if we're going to keep it, hold on. If we're going to have a conversation, we're going to keep it real. Let's keep it real. I'm telling you, this year and last year, the Eagles have and had a better line than the Bengals. I'm going to ask you the question again, George. Hold on, George. I'm going to ask you the question again. Who's got a better line, the Eagles or the Bengals?
I'm not going to go fall in your Joe.
You could say the Bengals that last weekend.
George, you're not keeping it real, George. You're not keeping it real.
The Bengals have backups in too.
Subs.
George, you're not keeping it real.
Fred Johnson.
Every time you talk about he's got to step up in the pocket. He's got to know a way to throw away the ball. He's got to hold on to the ball. That's because the offensive line is not blocked.
Sometimes.
Some of that. But
sometimes.
He has to do a better job. The O line has to do a better job too at times.
All right, George, give me an answer. I'm still going to give you a chance to win these tickets. Give me a great scene from a movie with a person based on a real person.
You're going to give me the tickets, Joe. JoJo Dancer when he put the lighter fluid on him and burned himself up. Richard Pryor.
Well, that's real life.
Yeah, that's real life.
That's not a movie. Yeah.
Kind of a horrible thing.
Yeah, that was not a good situation.
I don't think that'd be a winning answer for even a movie.
That was about 40 years ago.
Yeah.
was a big problem with Richard Pryor.
Well, he was going through it.
All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. He joins us every single Tuesday right around this time. Elliot brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Elliot, good morning, pal.
What up? How you guys doing this morning?
Quite well, Elliot. So, Elliot, a lot of things we'll talk to Nick Sirianni about in about 15 minutes. But let me start with this question to you, which I'm going to ask him. Isn't it pretty obvious when they run the ball more, they're a better offense? I mean, isn't it pretty clear at this point?
Yeah, I mean, they have one of the best offensive lines in football, and they have probably the best running back in football. And honestly, with Christian McCaffrey injured, perhaps by a wide margin, I know Derrick Henry's been obviously awesome as well. But yeah, I mean, I think they've always been a team willing to run the ball ever since Nick Sirianni got here in 2021. They were willing to run the ball. They ran the ball in 2022, and they've run the ball this year. So I don't ever really think there's been a strong hesitation from them to run the ball, to be honest.
But why do they seemingly forget about it sometimes?
Go ahead. But also, what about the under center part of running the ball? Like, that's part of this component, too, where it feels like all of a sudden they're doing this stuff. Maybe it's after the bye, but it does feel
it's definitely after the bye.
It does feel like things have come together and they're doing things so much in line with the way we had always hoped, and it's working so great. But really, the bye feels like the touchstone, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it does for sure. I mean, you know, I can't think of a more productive bye week this franchise has almost ever had when you consider how much things have changed since then.
Right.
But I don't view this team as having a major, like, philosophical change during the bye week. They've been under center more over the last weeks, but they've also been up 10-plus, 15-plus points in both those games. If you look at against Cleveland, the only game that was close, I think Jalen was under center 7 times. And I'm not saying they're not going to keep doing it, but I'll believe that they're going to be like a under center team when it is the fourth quarter of a close game. They have to have it, and they run plays under center. Other than that, I think that, yes, they are a better running team under center. I think it's better for Saquon. But I think the true difference with this team is, and I know it's simple, but it really is a major difference, Jalen's being smarter with the ball. Like, that's it. That's why they're playing better. Mm-hmm. That's why they look better. I'm not saying there hasn't been other minor changes, but when you go from turning it over a ton to not turning it over, like, yes, the offense is going to look way better.
It feels like, my gosh, it feels like run the ball and throw the ball to A.J. Brown. It's like a combination. You just can't beat it. But how do you look at the numbers. My gosh, the team's 4-0 with A.J. Brown. We're 1-2 without him. We score 12.5 points a game with 12.5 points per game more on the field with him playing. You know, it's like 30 points a game to 17.3. It's astronomically different. How do you guard against leaning into AJ too much almost? Like, are we too codependent on our star wide receiver, Elliott?
Well, that's an amazing problem to have.
Right. I think AJ but Brown it is a problem because if he goes out,
it's
then
not a. But it
lose.
Is what it is. You use him. I mean, you use Michael Jordan if you have him. If you don't have him, then you're in a problem. You got a problem. I mean, it is what it is.
I don't view it as a problem. Like that's why you pay Devontae Smith all that money. That's why you pay Saquon all that money. Mm-hmm. So that if AJ is taken away, you have other options to go to. So I understand that. Yes, at times it looks like they're just throwing it to AJ. But that's a pretty good plan, right? I mean, there was so many years we would talk about this team and they had nobody to throw the ball to and they had scheme guys open and it was so hard to move the ball. Yes, it's easy to throw the ball to A.J. Brown, but it wasn't easy to acquire A.J. Brown. It wasn't cheap to pay A.J. Brown. And so now that's a luxury they have. So I get the point, I guess, but ultimately I don't view it as a problem if their main issue is they're using A.J. Brown too much.
Elliott, it strikes me like defensively, and we've heard some players talk about this, that they are figuring some stuff out or have figured some stuff out, that Vic Fangio, after 2 months, has gotten his hands around this, how to use the guys. Do you think that is a major element of their improvement? I mean, we know they haven't faced the greatest teams, but Burrow's legit. His offensive line's not. But do you think that's a major part of their improvement, that Fangio figured some stuff out?
Definitely. I mean, we've talked so much about Kellen Moore, and Kellen Moore was a big acquisition by this team. But I think the major difference from a coaching standpoint with the team this season is just the competency on defense. Think about last year at the end of the season, and somewhat with the side, but mostly with Patricia, how wide open guys were, how bad the tackling was. I mean, they had breakdowns week after week after week. If you look at the defense this year, I can think of maybe two or three plays where they had major, like, wide-open breakdowns. Outside of that, the offense has had to work to gain yards against this defense. And also, I will give the coaching staff credit for this. Prior to the bye week, they were missing almost 9 tackles a game. After the bye week, that number is down to around 3. So, I think the opponent plays into that. Obviously, they played better teams. But having been out of practice, they've changed the way they practice tackling. And, maybe it was as simple as that. I don't know. But clearly, post-bye and pre-bye, the tackling problem so far seems to have been solved.
How much do these young defenders factor into the pre-bye, post-bye vibe, Elliott? You know, it does feel like you got Cooper DeJean taking on a much more important role, you know, post-bye. Yeah. Quinyon, you know, got the beginning of the season a little more under his belt. And our young pass rushers, I mean, I feel like Nolan Smith is more noticeable in the last few games. Like, he's actually getting some push where he was disappearing early in the season. Is there something to that? Are the young guys spearheading the defensive resurgence?
Yeah, so I still feel way better about the back four than I do the front four. I know they've been better over the last 3 games. I'll still, like, believe it when I see it when it comes to facing a great quarterback in a big game to make it fresher. And, look, I mean, that might not happen for a while, right? But ultimately, I believe in the back four way more than I do in the front four. And one of the main reasons I believe in the back four is because they have 3 guys, and really if you want to include Chauncey as well, that are young and playing really well. Obviously you guys get to see them on the field. I guess what I could offer up to somebody that, you know, is in the locker room and gets to cover them, Quinyon and Cooper are very impressive people. Like, I've covered a lot of rookies in my time covering the team. The level of confidence they've brought, I think, to that locker room and that secondary room, I don't think can be overstated. Neither of them are very loud. They're not like a Darius Slay type of personality. But just being around them, the football IQ that they have, and just the quiet confidence. I've seen a lot of rookies come to this locker room and to this city in particular and struggle with the initial pressure. I mean, Jalen Reagor, right? Jalen Reagor really struggled, I think, to be in Philadelphia. But Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, I've been very impressed with them as people. And then obviously on the field, they played really well.
That's incredible. That says a lot about really the front office too. They're doing a good job of finding the right guys who fit the right way. But that to get 2 guys at the top of a draft who actually have that mental toughness to be able to survive and just vibe with this city, that's pretty unique.
Yeah, and I'll say that too, like, obviously prior to the draft, right, we all talk about who we like, who we don't like, why we don't like this player, why we like that player. The one angle we never get to see is them as people, right? And I think that that is where Quinion and Cooper have been strong. Again, not to, to completely like dump on these guys, but like Jalen Reagor, Andre Dillard. Like, I think when they got here, Danny Watkins, like, they weren't ready for the city, right? But yes. I think that these two, and again, it's early, right? It's only six games in. But I think they seem very much capable of handling the pressure that
they're
comes
already proving it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Elliot, last thing here. Doug Peterson, he's going to be back. Do you think so? It won't be what it was the last time, but do you think there will be some Doug moment, an organization, a timeout where they, you know, say, hey, here's the Philly special, and then boom, they show Doug on the sideline during a timeout, first quarter. Do you think there's something still there, or because it's the second time, you think it's nothing?
No, I think they should do it for sure, and I think there's a good chance they will. I mean, I know it's the second time, but I don't think you can ever celebrate what Doug did here too many times, right? And honestly, maybe it throws Doug off his game. Who knows? I think there's only benefit to putting him up on the Jumbotron. I don't think there's any negative. He certainly won't be booed.
No, he won't be booed at all. Elliot, good work, my man. Good stuff, pal.
Thanks, Elliot.
Yep. Talk to you guys later.
Appreciate that. I like his theory. Ray, how about that theory? Do it when it can distract Doug Peterson.
Well, maybe like if
that's the theory of a timeout.
Oh no, totally.
He might have to talk to Trevor Lawrence, but if the spotlight is on him, so to speak. Yeah.
But if you also want to do him a solid and maybe like they go, all right, we can't fire him after the Eagles game because that would just, I mean, if they lost.
Yeah.
Because that would just be wrong.
I mean, listen, we all love Doug. We'll always love Doug Peterson. It'll be interesting to see with this being the second time that he's back, you know, how the organization, if they do something or not. Because a lot of times by time two, you don't do something. But we also know Doug won a Super Bowl here. So it's like, you know, I think they should do something. But we'll see. All right, let's
talk. If we blow them out, it might really
And Doug gets fired, that'd be sad. That'd be sad.
But they might be without also, their top two receivers, and their defense is dreadful.
He's in a tough spot.
They definitely really are missing their top receiver. I mean, Christian Kirk is going to be out for this game. That's going to make it hard for him. But, hey, if he gets fired here in town, well.
That would be terrible. I'll buy him a steak. If he gets fired, I'll buy him a steak.
Me too.
All right, let's talk to the Eagles, not former head coach, but the current head coach, Nick Sirianni, of course, on a 3-game winning streak, a 5-2 squad, and Nick is brought to us as he joins us every Tuesday at this time by Bud Light. Tailgate with Devin Caney at this weekend's Eagles Kelly Green game. Get the entire list of Devin's tailgate appearances at 94WIP.com/Bud Light. The head coach of the 5-2 Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, guys.
Hello, morning, Nick. Nick, congrats on that victory and obviously a 3-game winning streak. And I would imagine, but you tell us, is this the best you have felt about your squad this year?
You know, obviously, just one game at a time. We're excited about how last game was. You know, we're on to the next game, though, and focused on Jacksonville, good football team in Jacksonville. And so we know the work that we put in for each week is going to determine, you know, our success that week. So you don't got time to feel good or feel bad, and you just got to move on and play the next play.
Hey, Nick, Jalen's so tremendous in this last game, particularly in the second half. And I wonder, how do you bottle that up and get him to do it again and again and again?
Sure. Yeah. He's strung together a couple of nice games in a row here. And taking care of the football, going to the right place with the ball, accurate throws. The offensive line's done a good job of giving time to throw, and the receivers are getting open. I think the run game's opened that up. So just, you know, again, he's been practicing really well. And so, again, we know our process throughout the week's going to, you know, bottle that up by, you know, putting your head down, working again, having a good Wednesday practice, having a good Thursday practice, having a good Friday practice. So it's not, I know it's not a glamorous thing to say, but it's like that's the truth of it, and you know, we'll go back to work this week.
Nick, how have the under center snaps changed the offense for the better?
You know, again, each week calls for something different to, you know, to get into, and you know, we've ran the ball out of a different personnel group. Sometimes when you get into that 21 or 22 personnel, or even 13 personnel at times, you know, you don't have a wider range of plays from, you know, from the gun. Not to say we don't have any, but you don't have a wider range of plays there. And so, you know, the uptick of that has led to some really good runs. You know, with Ben leading through the line of scrimmage and Saquon having a really good feel for those things. And so, and then, you know, some of the flow of the game, being up late, like we have been the last two games, where we've been able to take our starters out, you know, that leads to some things too. But, you know, want to be multiple in what we do, and under center is one of those things.
Nick, doesn't it feel like the offense is most effective when you run the ball a lot? We've seen the stats, and they can be misleading, because if you have a big lead in the fourth quarter, you're going to run it a lot to salt the game away. But it just strikes me like when you guys run it earlier, you're better offensively earlier. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. And every game calls for something different, right? And so there's going to be a time where we're going to have to start a game off and we're going to have to throw it every down. I mean, that's just in that nature of this profession and of this game. Like, you know, there's going to be a team that comes out, loads the box, plays a defense that you're not going to, that you don't have the numbers to run it. And so you're going to have to throw it at times, or you change personnel and do something different. And so, again, the way games play out, it can't, you always want to follow different formulas, but, you know, defensive coordinators and other coaches in this league are good coaches, right? And they figure things out, and they make you adjust. So we'll have to adjust. And I know one thing that we do well is run the football and some of the things.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Things that come off of that, so that's definitely who we want to be. You know, but you know, and we'll see. We'll see how each individual game goes. But that's definitely one thing that we know we're doing really well right now is, you know, the effect that Jalen and Saquon have back there in the backfield, and then also the way our O-line's playing, the way our tight ends are blocking, and the way our receivers are blocking.
Nick, you talk about you know, building the trust and you know, other coaches sort of vying against you guys as a staff. Can you take us inside that working relationship that you have with Kellen Moore and how you've sort of tweaked your collaboration since the start of the season to make it so much more successful?
Yeah, I think Kellen's a phenomenal, phenomenal football coach. That's why he's here in the first place. He's had a lot of success at different teams with different players. And so You know, really enjoy working with Kellen and, you know, coming up with answers each week. And, you know, Kellen and our offensive staff have done an unbelievable job of putting the guys in positions to succeed. So it's just been a good, you learn too, right? You learn different things.
Sure.
You know, I think there's been multiple things that I have in my notes that like, ooh, I like that, Kellen, you know, like what you're thinking right there. I like that thought process. I like that thought process. And it's like, you know, and probably vice versa. You'd have to ask Kellen that, see if he's learning anything from us as well. But you know, it's been awesome. You know, to go through the process each and every week, you know, love coming in here. I love our coaching staff. I spend a lot of time with our coaching staff. And you got to like the guys that you're around because you spend so much time around them, mm-hmm. More than our families. And so, you know, really appreciate, you know, all the guys, particularly Kellen, and the time that, you know, I've got to spend with him. And I get to see him, you know, even like after work hours because our kids are on the same sporting teams. His son's a really good, really good football player. So he's helped our team get better. I think our team's 5-0 right now. So credit to Kellen.
Is your son
well.
Pretty good?
He's good. Yeah,
what's
he's
he play?
Good too. He plays quarterback and corner.
So wow.
He's a lefty like Kellen, and so I actually have to ask Kellen for some points. Right? Hey, how do I teach the lefty this or that? And you know, so you know, it's the team's doing good. Our coach Haddon's doing a good job over there for our team.
Nick, nice. Nick, a different kind of interview and a different kind of tenor with the media than 2 weeks ago, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
So Nick, that Washington game the other day, it ends and you get to see it and you see the way it ends. Are you at the point? Because you know you're in a battle now with Washington. Are you at the point within the division where you see that and you say, "Damn it, I wish that didn't just happen"?
Yeah, you know, I try to control the things I can control, but hey, we're human, and so you find yourself watching Sunday Night Football and rooting against the Cowboys.
Sure.
You find yourself on the plane ride home, checking in on the score. I had no control over it. We had no control over it, but you know, we can take some things that happened in the game and learn from them. I know everybody has seen how the game ended, and you learn things from those, and you try to put your guys in those situations. So it went from, you know, damn it, I can't believe they lost,
sure.
To, okay, what can we use here to get our team better? And, you know, that's something that I take a lot of pride in, is that, you know, we talk a lot about situations and things that happen that pop up in the game. And I know we got the players thinking about it, too, when they're texting me saying, hey, they should have done this here or that here. And, you know, and that's just not in NFL games. That's over, you know, college games or anything that it is. I mean, we'll take anything from anybody, you know, to help us learn. It's a wider range of emotions. It's, you know, the upset to, okay, what can we learn from it?
That's a pretty unique relationship that your guys text you back and forth about games. Like, that really is neat to hear about, Nick. It feels like our defense has played with so much fire since, I guess, since the bye. What do you think explains that, Nick?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the defensive staff has done a great job of putting the guys in positions to succeed. And I think anytime you talk about defense, it's always going to start with, are you playing physical? Are you playing on their side of the line of scrimmage? Are you defeating blocks and getting off blocks? Are you making tackles, right? When you have opportunities to take the ball away, are you doing that? And so I think our guys have been playing with great fundamentals because our coaches have been coaching their butts off with the fundamentals. And then, you know, we've just been on the same page. You know, there's a couple mental errors that happened in the game that led to some big plays in the last couple of weeks. But I think the coaches have worked so hard to get the guys to understand in the meeting room and the walkthroughs of, you know, what we're doing versus every different look, right? On defense, you call it defense, but you don't know, like on offense, you call an offense and boom, you go out and you know where to line up right away. And then you got to figure out what the defense is, what structure they're in. On defense, you call it defense, and depending on how they line up, is how you got to line up. And so it starts in a completely different mode. And so, you know, being on the same page is critical, and I think that we've done a really good job. I think I was just watching the TV copy this morning of our game, and I love how we're playing as a team and the excitement that they show, you know, together after plays. Like I'm watching it, and Zach or N'Kobe runs up with the football after Zach stripped the football, and he shoves it in his chest, and they're celebrating, they're going crazy because they've worked so hard to do that. And I love when things like that happen, because you're constantly trying to build team. You know, it's a long process to build a team, and all the little nuggets that show that the team is coming together and are fruits of your labor is really cool, and really, you know, you really end up appreciating those things and taking a lot of pride in those things.
Nick, do you always watch the TV copy, or is that just something like every once in a while you'll check it out to see if you can catch anything? That seems like, you know, an unusual thing to do. Like, I know the All 22 is what the coaches normally dig into. What makes you watch the TV copy?
Yeah, good question. I've been doing that for a long time. Obviously, my first time watching the game, or the first 10 times watching the game, are from the All 22.
Mm-hmm.
What you can get from the TV copy that I've used my entire career, it really goes back to when I was playing. I would put a tape into the VCR. That's how old I am. I'd hit record, and I was playing wideout in college, and I would just tape all the games that were going to be on CBS or, you know, whatever that
totally.
Was. And I would look for individual shots of the wide receivers, you know, and the DBs, right? Because you get it. What happens is you get a different look of the game. Like, you can see the footwork better. You can see the fundamentals. I'm obsessed with fundamentals. And so you see the fundamentals better when it's zoomed in on the guy, right?
Yeah.
And so you look for those. Now you get 15 clips a game from offense, 15 clips a game from defense that really show it, but you got to sort through all that. And you watch it, and you get those zoomed in looks. You know, you get to see different things on different angles of, like, hey, was that really a penalty here, or was it? You know what I mean? So you go through it that way as well. And so that's always been part of my process, dating back to, I'm aging myself, 2001, when I'm playing wide receiver at Mount Union. So I really value that because I really think that you can learn a lot from it, and I think your players can learn a lot from it.
Nick, great stuff. Two final things here, Nick. Doug Peterson, your opponent this weekend. I'm curious if in these last 4 years you and Doug have ever had a moment to talk about what it is like to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. There's only, I could add it up, 5 or 6 or 7 of you guys alive that have done it. Have you guys ever shared that conversation?
Yeah, I've appreciated Coach Peterson, and you know, I've obviously respect the heck out of him and all the things that he's done as a head football coach and a player in this league. And we've had conversations for sure. He was so helpful when I first took the job. I really admire that. You know, kind of talking through the different players, you know, different things. And I always admired that. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I think about, hey, if I leave a place, you know, am I gonna help that person out? I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's what makes me admire Doug, is, like, you know, that he was willing to help me as I stepped into the role that he had had previously. And so you admire that. And, you know, that actually happened with one of the coaches. I in 2009, my first year with the Kansas City Chiefs, I actually took Kevin Petullo's job. Like, their staff went out, and I took Kevin's job. And I remember calling Kevin, because Chan Gailey was still the coordinator, and Kevin just helped me out of getting through things and doing things, and leads to this relationship. So that's the cool thing about coaching, is like that, you know, all these, everyone, you know, it's a brotherhood, and it's a, you know, you go through unique things together. So I admire Kevin, obviously, as I tell that story, and I admire Doug for those things, and hopefully when I get an opportunity to do the same, I'll do the same, knowing that, you know, people have helped me in the past, a job that I've stepped into.
That is really fascinating that he did that. That is a really cool story, Nick. It really is.
He's a good man.
Yeah, that's
good football coach and a good man.
Tremendous. Nick, final thing to the really important things in life. What are you going to be for Halloween?
I don't think I'll get it. What is it? Thursday?
Thursday.
Is that when Halloween is?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna be. I don't know if I'm gonna make it home for that. So I'll be here. I'll be dressed as Coach Sirianni, same outfit I have on each and every week, and then I'll get some pictures sent.
Well, Nick, you know what?
from my wife.
You know what's the funny thing? So I was Buddy Ryan when I was about 9 or 10 years old. So there probably are any number of thousands of kids in the Delaware Valley.
Yeah, how's that feel?
They'll be you.
When people are dressed up as you.
You. Yeah.
That's cool. I wish my kids would do that. They go different. You know, Taylor's going to be Taylor Swift, and so you know sure. That's Miles is a police officer. I don't know what Jacob is, but yeah. So that I know none of them are Nick Sirianni though. So it is what it is.
There you go. Hey Nick, good luck on Sunday versus the Jags, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks, Nick.
All right. Thanks
Nick.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.